You ready to welcome Ms. Portia tonight, our guest keynote speaker? Come on, Ms. Portia. Thank you again for doing this. I appreciate it so much.
Okay. Well, first, I'm going to read Proverbs 17:22, and this is especially for the women. Okay? Okay. A merry heart doth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries your bones. That's what it says. And so I really listened to that. You know, because the women more often have dry bones and osteoporosis. And so, you know what? Nobody takes care of our mind but us. And if our mind, if we are not a merry in our heart, it's not your neighbor's fault. You know what? Because you are the orchestrator of what goes into your mind and what you think. Okay, women, I just wanted to give that to you right up front because it's not really goes with the rest of it. But you know what? That's God's word. Do you want strong bones? Keep a merry heart. If it's not merry, then get it out of there. Okay, I thought, well, God, did you know we were going to all have osteoporosis or weak bones or something? Anyway, that was pretty much the first thing I wanted to do. And interestingly, I'm going to go over benefits of prayer because that's what we're doing tonight. And I do have a lot of personal things I could share. For example, I was sharing with Pastor that my mother was a minister. And she was a hoot and holler one, you know, where you jump around and if she felt the spirit, that was it. She would go for it, you know. But she was good. She knew the word probably as good as anybody did. And so I'll share that quickly. She was born and approximately she was about 2 years old. A tornado hit Oklahoma. Her dad, and he was holding her, took her up they went up into the tornado. When he came to the ground, he was dead. He died. And she lived, you know? And I mean, it always bothered her, but she didn't remember it because she was about two. And so I was just sharing with Pastor that my mom never forgot, though, you know, God saving her from dying along with him. And she was always a good, faithful Christian and studied the word like no other. She did. Okay, I'm going to go over prayer. What does it do? When we pray, we are developing a relationship with who? That's it, with God. And it's just like our parents here on earth. Your Heavenly Father does want to hear from you. And you want, when you pray, he listens. If you don't pray, he has no reason to listen. I mean, he doesn't. You have to, you know, you initiate that communication. God's there, but you have to initiate it. And when you pray, aren't you glad that he is listening and makes a difference? So the other is prayer helps you gain understanding of God's loving nature. And don't you, when you pray, feel at times like you're so sweet to me, you know, and just knowing his presence is there and around you, because we all want to feel God's presence. So prayer is required. It's absolutely, prayer just means talking, communicating with God. It's very simple to do. He doesn't care about the big words and your great understanding of everything. He just wants you to talk to him. Okay, so we all need to make sure we're doing that every day, fully developing our communication, because there's a lot of benefits to knowing God, knowing us. And prayer also, when we pray, he answers. God will answer our prayers. Okay, and it also with praying, we just draw closer to God, don't we? You know, the awareness of him in the home and around us, or when you're in your car, whatever. It's so good to know God's right here, you know, and you can talk to him anytime. You don't have to set an appointment like we do all the time with everything. We set an appointment. They'll go, well, we're booked, so we'll take you next month. God doesn't do that. And it also, prayer helps us to find direction in our lives and in our children's lives and our friends. We need divine direction, especially nowadays, don't we? I mean, absolutely. I think he can tell you something as simplistic as turn here, turn right, turn left, you know, if we listen. But we have to have ears to hear, too. And it, you know what, believe it or not, prayer gives you the strength to avoid temptation. Okay? Because, you know, you've talked with him, he knows you've talked with him, and there could be temptations. It could be something, you know, that you shouldn't even be eating. And he said, don't eat it, you know? You need to keep that out of your, but that is a temptation. That's kind of minute in comparison to what the world tries to do, isn't it? And so it gives you the strength to avoid, and it aligns you with God's will for your life. He does have plans for you, don't you think? He planned for you to be the minister, Pastor. You know, he just has plans for all of us. And so prayer, it just helps us to get in the will of God. Make sure we're there. And, you know, prayer and regular fasting is so important. I mean, do you like to hear the word fasting? No, we don't. Well, he tells us to. I mean, we're supposed to, even if it can be something as simplistic of, okay, I'm giving this up. Father, you know this is my favorite, and I will not eat it for, you know, a period of time. Some type of candy or something. Did you know that prayer actually can work miracles? Okay, I have seen miracles in my life. I really have. Seen miracles in personalities, you know what I mean? And changes, even in my own children. And I won't talk about that because they wouldn't like that. Okay? And prayer, you also are inviting the Holy Spirit into your life to help guide and direct. I mean, he was put here for us, poor guy. I mean, poor Holy Spirit. He says, can I just go back up there with you and just leave them? Do you see? Father, they're not even listening to me. But he does, you know, try to guide and direct us. Anyway, and prayer helps you to become more like Jesus. Can you even imagine feeling like you're more like Jesus? Big difference, huh? Big difference. Yeah, so that was just 10 things I had on that. And then I'm going to share a little bit with you about, we talked about the revivals. Didn't you talk about that Sunday? Okay, remember she mentioned the hippie revival? Okay, I will tell you some good things that happened, and we saw them, huh, Mike? We lived in the mountains, and when we first moved up there, I thought, God, why did you move us here? I don't even like this place. There is nothing here but mountains, you know, and not much to do. And I had Michael, he was 7, and Chris was 3, and I just thought, well, I hope Mike just wants to finish this term pretty quick, because I didn't really want to stay. I had to move into a motel. And then I said, I'm not living in this motel any longer. We've got to find a house. And then we found a house, and I didn't want to stay there either because it wasn't very well built. So what he did is he started building us a house. You know, and it was nice, and we still have it. But that is not my purpose to share this, but one day, Michael and Chris were doing something, and I did have a friend, Carol Bates, you guys might know her. She, at the time, was not really serving God, and her husband wasn't either. But, I mean, we visited most every day, and it progressed to much real good things. But I thought, you know what, I'm going out of here today, because Mike was often gone, and I'm going to find me a friend, you know? I mean, you got to have a friend, and I had Carol, but she was busy and so forth. Well, I met this girl named Sarah Gaspar. And she said, won't you come on in? Are you here for a special? And I said, I'm looking for a friend. I was pretty young, you know. I said, I'm just looking for a friend. And she said, well, come on in. And so I did. And you know what? We became friends. And she told me later, Portia, we were so concerned you were going to see all of our marijuana in the house. And here's Mike's the policeman, you know. I said, I wouldn't know what it was, Sarah. Well, they kicked that all out. They, you know, she started serving God because I started having prayer meetings. And I invited everybody to the prayer meetings, didn't I, Mike? We had a house full of hippies within 6 weeks. It was full of hippies. And they wanted God. And they prayed. And you know what? It was really, we had a hippie revival. And, you know, I wasn't a hippie, but they didn't care. They loved everybody. You know how it was. It was love in the air. And so they were there. But after we started having so many people, and we had prayer meeting about how many times a week, Mike? Three. We had prayer meeting in our house, at least three. And then some of them had children, would put them in the rooms, you know, and let them do whatever. I had a cleaning afterwards, but we didn't care. And anyway, it progressed to we probably are going to need a building because this house, you know, is not big enough for all of these hippies that are coming. And so Mike and, oh, by the way, Mike and Carol started coming to our prayer meeting, so Mike. Do you remember? And I tried to tell him about the Holy Spirit, you know, and so forth. And Mike didn't have it either. He really had not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So, you know, he wasn't moving that direction. But Carol Bates went to visit one of her relatives. She came back and she goes, Portia, I learned something. My cousin said, kneel down, and we're going to pray for you, and we're going to ask that you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Carol received it, and she was speaking in tongues. Wasn't that good? Well, after that, that kind of opened up our prayer meetings, because I didn't have to, you know, say, well, we really need to get you guys all filled with the Holy Ghost. And so, anyway, Mike, Carol's husband, he wanted to receive the Holy Spirit. Well, my husband did not. But we were all in the middle of the floor. Sometimes we were there at midnight praying. We prayed so much. We prayed often, three nights a week, and real long prayers. So my husband decided that he would pray for Mike to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He hadn't received it, but he was praying for Mike. Well, while he was praying for Mike, Mike here started praying in tongues. He received the, you remember Mike, of course, and he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit praying for Mike to receive it. Okay? Yeah, we had great times. I mean, so many, huh, Mike? And then we decided, you know what, we need a church. We need a building. And they started looking around. Well, the local bar, which I prayed and tried to close them all the time. I prayed, how many did I get closed? Four or five? I did. I prayed, I cursed them buildings all the way across the mountain, everything. And they started closing. I thought, whoop, that's good. Anyway, well, this one closed right down the street. And Mike knew the owner, and they started negotiating, and this group, there was about four of us couples that pretty much, you know, said, okay, we'll just give everything we can, and that turned into a church, a nice church, and it's still there today. Isn't that God? You know what? And you know what? Some of the girls that were there are women now. They have children, and they say, you know what? Our life was changed forever because of that, you know, because of just that. I guess number one, I think I kind of helped because I wanted a friend. You know, I had a lot of friends in Porterville, and Carol was it. And I thought, there's got to be more people up here in addition to that. So there is something that Mike could probably share with you, though, about, you know, speaking to that mountain, Mike. You want to share it?
Yeah, praise God. Like I said, the families were meeting in homes, and it just got too crowded. I mean, there wasn't anybody that had a big enough house to hold everybody. So we started looking around, and this bar closed. Thank you, Portia. In fact, when I went up there as resident deputy, there were 7 bars up there. She closed 6 of them. Well, anyway, this one bar closed, and I knew the owner, and I got to talking to him, and I said, you know, we're looking for a church, and I think we can change. You know, you're serving a certain kind of spirit, but I think we can still serve this a different kind of spirit in here if you'll sell it to us. And he said, well, he says, I just turned down $35,000 yesterday. Now, that doesn't sound like a whole bunch today. But back then, it was a fortune. It was about 1974. And so he said, I just turned down $35,000 yesterday. And I said, oh, I said, I don't know. I said, I don't think we can raise that. But we can try. He says, well, I tell you what. If you can raise 30, I'll take 30. So I said, well, we can do 30. So I knew a man on the other side of the mountain who was a car dealer and owned a dealership in Bakersfield. And he had a cabin up there. So I went over and I talked to him and I said, would you consider loaning a group of people $30,000. He says, well, what are you going to do with it? And I said, we're going to build a church. He said, yeah, I consider that. He says, can I see the building? I said, get in the car. So he got in the car, and I drove him all the way over to Pine Flat, and I showed him the building. He walked around it, didn't say anything, got back in the car, and I was taking him back, and I was giving that boy the hard sell. Got about halfway back, and he says, just hush. He says, I've decided to loan you the money. So he loaned us $30,000, and we got that building, and we started working on it. And opening day, the pastor who had been up there came up to go to the opening ceremony for that church. And when the whole thing was said and done, we were standing outside talking, and he's looking at that building, and right behind that building, about 6 feet behind that building, was a mountain. He says, you know what? You could use a lot more parking. You're going to need a lot more parking than what you got. And he says, the Lord says, if you speak to the mountain, tell it to be removed, it will be. So every time I drove past that building, I would speak to that mountain and tell it to be removed. But I wasn't the only one. Mike Bates, who was a member, and several others, every time they'd go by that, they'd speak to that mountain. Well, there was a man up there that had a little business where he had a tractor and a dump truck, and people would need some DG, and that mountain was all DG, decomposed granite. And he would come in there, and he would take a load. Oh, he might take 4 or 5 loads a month. And I said, gee whiz, you know, he's moving that mountain, but it's going to take about 200 years. So one day, the county contacted me, and he says, you're a board member on that church up there, aren't you? And I said, yeah. He said, well, he says, we need some DG. we're building a road up here, and we have to haul our DG from down in the valley, and it's costing a lot of money to haul that up there. He said, it'd be nice if we could just dig that DG right here. I said, you can take all you want. So they they did. They started coming in there with double belly dump trailers, and it was almost continuous going through that parking lot and taking that DG. And he told me, he says, we can't just take it. He says, we have to pay you for it. I said, well, that's okay with me. You can pay me all you want. And he says, we'll keep track how many dump loads of DG we take out of here. And then when it's all said and done, we'll write you a check. Fine. Well, every time I passed that place, there was at least two rigs in there getting loaded up with DG. They had some big front loaders, and they were loading that DG. Well, to make a long story even shorter, they moved that mountain completely. It was gone, and it was done in about, maybe 2-3 months at the most. And they gave me this check that paid off that $30,000 loan.
Isn't that good? We serve a big God. And that was my point, is that was the hippie revival. And the hippie revival, those girls, they still contact me. My family's serving God, my girls are serving God, and it just goes, you know what, you just have to be obedient and believe, you know. So after a while, I didn't mind living up there at all, because it was like a community, and it was mostly Christians. And we had Bible school, we had everything, you know. We just organized it and had it all together. So anyway, I praise God for that, and I think probably I've shared enough. Well, I mean, I do have a little bit more, but I think that's probably enough. I'll tell about my mother if you want me to. Okay. You know, my mother was raised by her stepfather and her mother, and then they had they used to come to our house, about 12 others, three boys and the rest were girls. And they, all of them had heard about the move of the Holy Spirit, but that was new then. You know, it was no way, you didn't have anyone to pattern after. And so my mom, she loved God all of her life, and she so wanted to receive the Holy Ghost. Well, you know what? She received it in their barnyard on a stack of hay, and she was out there for hours and hours. The girls told me they got a little concerned for Esther, but she was out there just speaking in tongues and praising God. Isn't that something? The reason I want to share that is, you know what, you guys, we serve a big, big God, bigger than, you know, I mean, if you pray and you have a sincere heart, he moves. I mean, just like paying off that church, because I remember at the time thinking, we're just going to have to eat beans or something. You know, I didn't know. But you know what? That was God. He did it all. Okay? Okay. And so that was that. I think that's probably good enough.
Thank you, Portia. You know, we received a call, Lainey Doyle and I, and I'm not even sure if Rick was there at that time. He wasn't. So he was already passed. Well, we got a call from Mike Boudreaux, I think it was from him, and invited us to come up and sing at their church in Hot Springs. And we went to that bar, and it was a bar. I think there was a little fireplace or something, or a fire pit. But we went there, and it was just, you know, the Holy Spirit was, that was a beautiful, beautiful time in the Lord, wasn't it? So look, now we're together still, And as you said, all those people you mentioned, I've seen. Sarah was the hippie of hippies. She was like Doris and the man's, okay? So they were once hippies. They're still a little hippie-ish, but, you know. But once we're Christians, we're still a little Christian-y, you know. So anyway, Portia, one more thing I want you to say about your mother. Her mother was such a precious woman, and she was in a lot of them. I got to go to one Oral Roberts meeting. My sister had a growth. It was a mole or something right here, my older sister. And my mother and daddy thought, if we can just get her to that Oral Roberts tent meeting, he was going to be down at Bakersfield, we're going to take her. And he always formed a big line, and he would sit in a chair because he prayed for thousands. Sitting in that chair, and he laid hands on my sister, and that mole left her face. I don't know where it went, how it fell off or whatever. But anyway, Portia was telling me that her mother, am I right, Portia, that when that tornado picked her and daddy up, that she fell into a cornfield? Is that right? Isn't that amazing? So her life was saved falling into that cornfield. And then later on, she received the Holy Spirit in a haystack. It was the funniest thing. And she wanted it, but she never did receive it in the church. But she was out there one day and just fell over in that haystack. So, you know, you can never underestimate where God is going to meet you, what he's going to do. But be encouraged tonight. Thank you for sharing that with us, especially about that mountain being removed. That's a beautiful story, and what God can do when we step out. Well, the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you, turn his beautiful face toward you, and give you peace. May he turn his countenance toward you and be peace unto you, to your home, your family, and all that pertains to you. In Jesus' name, amen.